Good morning. Man, come on, Delaware Christian. Can we put our hands together? Is anybody thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? The sun is shining. The birds are singing. What an awesome day to be in God's house. I'm thankful to be here. Been a few times, but very appreciative. It's great to have my son with me today. My wife, Kelly, sends her love. She had to serve at our church, so she is not with us, but she sends her love. And we were talking this weekend, and she asked me, what are you going to wear on Mother's Day? I said, well, I'm just going to wear jeans and a shirt like I always do. And she gave me the look. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many guys have seen that look before? Come on, am I the only one? Is there anybody that's seen the look? So she went on to dress me, and my daughter got in on it, and she picked the tie. So this is compliments of Kelly and Ashley saying they love you guys, and they're praying for this church today. If you have your Bibles, will you go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. And I want to preach today for just a few minutes about a man who Jesus referred to as the greatest man that ever lived. That was the words of Jesus. I didn't just make that up or come up with it. According to Jesus, this man was greater than any man that was ever born to a woman. And his name was John the Baptist. And just for anybody that I want to bring some clarification, or if you're new to the Bible, that's not a denomination for him. That's his occupation. It's not like Pete the Presbyterian or Charlie the Catholic. John the Baptist was just a man, and that was his occupation. He was a man in the Bible that we can learn an awful lot from. And today I want to look at this part of John's life that I believe many of you are going to be able to relate to today. And if you're taking notes, today's message is titled, "The Most Uplifting Bible Message You've Never Heard." The most uplifting Bible message that you have never heard. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just come to you this morning. We just lift you up. We're thankful for this incredible day that you have blessed us with, this incredible church. And God, I thank you that you are with us here. I'm thankful that you have given us a word that is going to go out. I don't believe it's random. Whoever is in these seats today, there is a purpose and a plan, and you have a message and a word for them. We just thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Before I get into my message, though, it is a special day. So can I have all the moms stand up and the stepmoms, and can we honor them today? Come on, ladies, to your feet, to your feet. Can we honor all of our moms today? Thank you, moms. We love you. We thank you for your struggles and your pain and your suffering. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Awesome. Matthew chapter 11, are you there? The Bible says, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Now check out what happens next in verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So we've got a situation where some time has passed, where John had baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. John the Baptist, he prepared the way for the Savior of the world. That was the mission for John. That was his job description. He was to prepare the way. He came preaching this message about repentance. Repent and change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And John always knew his place. He always knew where he stood. Before Jesus came, he said, "There's one that's going to come that's greater, and I'm not even in a position to untie his sandals. I need to decrease so he can increase. I need to become lesser so that he can become greater. And John ultimately is going to have a chance to prove that from a prison cell. And that's where we find John today in chapter 11. He's in prison. And it's really interesting that we find John one moment preaching to the world, saying, look, the one is coming, the one is coming. This is the one that we've been waiting for. And then a little while later, due to some circumstances, John's in prison and he's sending people to Jesus to ask Jesus the question, are you the one that we thought you were? Are you really the one, Jesus, who we've been waiting for? And I just wonder if there's anybody today who's ever had that question where you've asked a question about who God is or what's your purpose in life, what God is doing. And it's also interesting to note that John didn't do anything wrong to end up in prison. Actually, John did everything right. He stood for righteousness and put his finger in a king's face and said, you're wicked. You're evil. What you're doing is displeasing to God. And so we see God repay John for that boldness. Yes, by allowing him to be locked up in a prison. And oh, by the way, John didn't know this because we're only in Matthew chapter 11. He couldn't have. But later on for John, his head's going to get cut off and served on a platter. That's how things ended up for this great obedient servant of God. And so John asked the question, and it kind of makes sense why he asks in verse 3, are you the one who is to come, Jesus? Or should we expect someone else? In other words, God, is this it for my life? Is this the way it's going to be? Am I believing all of this for nothing? And I wonder if there's anybody here today that's ever been at that place where you would say, God, did I go through all of that to get to this? Maybe the moms that are here today, on your special day, did you ever say, did I have these children? Did I sacrifice for these children? Did I bleed for these children, for the lip that they're giving me right now? I know I was going to get some amens there. But I believe it's okay, church, that we get to that place in our life where we can ask God the question, God, is that all there is? And I believe that there are some of you here today that that's what brought you in here. That's your question. God, is this what my life is supposed to be? And I think there's times that we're all going to face disappointment if we haven't had some disappointment already. Times where you're disappointed, maybe a little, with expectations, what you thought was going to happen. In fact, I'm a big fan of technology. I think technology's best when it's serving me and I'm not the servant to it, if you know what I'm talking about. But I think technology's great, and I got an iPhone when it came out, but I'll tell you what I heard was going to change the world, Siri. When Siri came out, she was going to revolutionize the world, right? You could press a button, and any expectation that you had for anything about what you were asking was going to get answered, right? Like, if I was hungry and I wanted to eat some food, all I had to do was hit a button, because Siri was going to hook me up. But I don't know if you've ever been there where I press the button, and I said, okay, Siri, where's the closest pizza places? And I get a list of pet places. That's not really what I was going for. I wanted some pepperoni pizza, not a pet place. Or I don't know if you've ever pressed a button because you had a meeting to go to, or you were relying on technology to navigate you to your meeting or appointment or a place that you needed to be. And then you get to where you're going, and they say you're at your destination, but you're in the middle of a cornfield. Something that should be on a horror show. Has anybody ever been there before? And it's easy to sit here and laugh about technology when our expectations are on a machine, but what about the things when it matters in your life? What about the expectations and the hopes and the dreams that you had for your life? Like John the Baptist, he's in a prison cell instead of hanging out with Jesus as he's going around and doing miracles. So it makes sense why John would want to know, is this it, Jesus? Is this the way it's going to be? Because I'm here in prison. I'm in prison for something that I didn't do wrong, but for everything that I did right. And what you got to understand is the prisons back then weren't like the prisons today. There was no Wi-Fi. There was no cable TV. There was no three meals a day. There was no kind Morgan Freeman gentleman standing there to walk you around the courtyard to take you to where you needed to be. It just wasn't like that. This was a dirty, dark, solitary place that John was in. And so if you're here today, and you've ever been single when it seems like everybody else is getting married, if you've ever had no friends when it feels like everybody else has a million friends, or if you've ever had your kid on drugs when it seems like everyone else's kid is on the honor roll, or if you've ever had a loveless marriage when everybody else is going out on date night, then you know that you've had that moment in your life where you said, God, I love you. God, I trust you. But is this it? Is this how my life is going to be? Is this it? And that's why this message is called the most uplifting message that you've never heard, because the key to what we're looking at is found in verse 7 of the text. Jesus talks behind John's back. He talks behind his back. You see, Jesus was telling the guys that John sent to him about all the things that Jesus was doing. And then shortly after, in verse 7, Jesus then began to speak to the crowds about John. Isn't that interesting? He sent the messengers away with a message for John that didn't have anything to do with what he said to the crowds about John. There's got to be something there. Because Jesus just didn't forget what to say, right? I mean, we read the Bible. How would Jesus forget what to say? Jesus is the Bible. Jesus is the living word of God. So we know that he didn't forget to say something. So he sends these guys away with a message for John. And he says, tell John that the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk and the good news is being preached to the poor. Go tell John all of that. So they go away, but he doesn't send any kind of a message about John to John. There's got to be something deeper in this scripture, in this passage, right? Because normally, if you're going to talk about somebody behind their back, you usually don't have the guts to say it to their face, right? But that's not Jesus. Jesus didn't have any emotional or social hang-ups. Jesus had no problem telling people the way that it was. He would look at the Pharisees and call them snakes and sons of hell. Jesus had no problem telling people where he stood, what he stood for, and just being blatantly honest with them. Let me say it this way. The Creator had no problem speaking to the created. On the other hand, people at times don't share affirmation with others because they don't know how to share affirmation with other people. They're not secure enough in themselves to speak words of love and encouragement. We see a lot of dads that fall into this category that never spoke any words of affirmation to their children and never told them that I love you. Why? Because they were never shown that love. They were never given any affirmation. But that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. God is love. Jesus didn't have any junk in the trunk. He didn't have any emotional baggage. He was okay and secure in giving love to other people. So that just begs the question, why does Jesus wait until the messengers are gone before he starts to say all these good things about John behind his back instead of giving that information for the messengers to take back to John? And here's what I think. Jesus didn't want John to put his faith in John. Jesus wanted John to put his faith in Jesus. Jesus didn't want John's confidence to rest in the work that John could do, in the strength of what John thought he could take care of, but in the work that Jesus was doing. And this is so critical to understand, because there will be times in your life, there's times in my life where I wanted affirmation from other people. I wanted to hear I was doing a good job. I wanted to receive love from other people, but I don't believe that God let me have it, because God didn't want my affirmation to rest in man. God wanted my affirmation to rest in him. Not in what I can do for him, not in what I can work out in my own strength, but what God has already worked out for me, what God is already working out in me, in me. And you got to understand, Jesus went through a pretty long grocery list here. He just sent it out and said, tell John the plan's working, the gospel's spreading. Blind people, they can see. Deaf people can hear. The healing power of Father God is flowing out. Tell John all of that great, great news. And then once the messengers leave, I can just see Jesus gathering people, leaning in and saying, let me tell you about my boy, John. Let me tell you about my boy, John. And I think so many times this happens more than we know, where Father God is up there looking down saying, man, look at my kids. I don't know whether he fist pumps. I don't know whether he, bam, just gives a little chest to the angels. But I just think he looks down and says, man, look at my daughter down there. Look at my son down there. Just so proud, like a father looking down. And we've got reason to believe that when we read the Bible, God sees things in you. God sees the bigger picture, things that we're never going to see this side of heaven. And here's what I believe for this church on this day, for everybody that is sitting here today, heavenly affirmation is coming down to you today. I believe that Jesus is talking about you behind your back, and he's got some incredible, incredible words of affirmation to you. It's coming. Look at your neighbor and say, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. This is going to be good. And I want to give you three things today. Three things to write down that I believe that Jesus Christ wants to affirm in your life today. I think you should write them down. I think you should put them in the phone section, in the notes section on your phone. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on your kids' mirrors. Put it in the car, because this is going to be some good stuff that's not only for you, but something that you can give to other people. Now, what's interesting is I mentioned that word affirmation, and people kind of get squirmish, almost like when you preach on money. People get a little tight. They hide their purses, and it kind of goes that way. But this might sound a little foreign when I speak of affirmation today, because for some of you, for so long, you've not only never heard it, but you've been beat down when you get into the word. You've been beat down with society and people coming down on you. But yet, we read in the Bible that Jesus turns to the crowd and he speaks these incredible words of affirmation about John the Baptist. Jesus says these incredible things about John and his ability. And so the first thing I believe Jesus wants to speak to you today is this. You're doing better than you think you're doing. You're doing better than you think you're doing. I hope somebody gets that in their spirit today, that you're doing better than you think you're doing. Jesus is talking about you behind your back, and he's saying you're doing better than you think you're doing. You see, John couldn't see all the miracles as he prepared the way for the Messiah. He couldn't see all the miracles when he was locked up in a prison cell. But Jesus, when he was speaking to the crowd in Matthew 11, verse 10, said, this is the one, John, my boy, whom it's written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Jesus said, if it wasn't for my boy John, I wouldn't be here today preaching like I am right now, performing all these miracles. You see, John doesn't think that he's doing a whole lot right now, but he's doing better than he thinks he's doing. He's doing better than he thinks he's doing. And I wonder who's here today that God really wants to speak to, that doesn't feel like anything, that feels like you're always coming up short, that feels like you're always a failure, that feels like you always need to lose 10 to 20 pounds, that feels like you need to read the Bible more, that you need to pray more, that you're not doing it good. And I believe that God wants to take that burden off of you today and let you know you're doing better than you think you're doing. You're doing better than you think you're doing. Some of you didn't like me saying that because a lot of you feel like God is disappointed with you. Let me ask you something. How could a God be disappointed in you that knew every single mistake you were ever going to make in your life and still sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you? He loves you. He's crazy about you. You're doing better than you think you're doing. Well, Pastor, that's great. How do you stand up there and just say that? Well, I know you're doing better. You know why? Because you're here. You're here. You could be a lot of other places than in this house today. You could be at the grocery. You could be at the zoo. You could be at the golf club. No. You are here. If you can't celebrate anything else today, celebrate the fact that you are in the house of God. You're here. You're doing better than you think you're doing. And some of you need to start preaching that to yourself. Quit talking all that nonsense and start giving yourself some affirmation. Start talking that to your family. Start talking that to your spouse. Start giving that to your kids, to your coworkers. Not getting up in their business, but just lovingly, listen, man, you're doing better than you think. You're doing. You know, it's funny. How many people here have ever seen American Idol before? American Idol, that singing show on TV. When that show first came out, there was this dude on there called Simon. Simon Cowell. Cowell, is that right? Simon Cowell. Had that accent going on. And he would just be brutally honest with people, because how many of y'all know people think they can sing when they really can't sing? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? A lot of smiles in the house. But anyways, when I think of this message, I used to have a big-time problem when I would go up on stage and preach, because every single time I finished up, I would hear the voice of Simon Cowell in my ear, Dax, that was the worst, most pathetic message I have ever heard in my life. Everybody that walked in the place is now stupider because of what you spoke. My ears are bleeding. It was just horrible with all the words that you spoke today. And I would beat myself up, and I was living for the approval and the affirmation of man, and so God then started kind of pouring into me, giving me a little love, telling me I'm doing a little bit better than I think that I'm doing, letting me know, hey man, there's some people that got saved up in this house today. There's some people that gave their life to Jesus. There's some people that got baptized today. There's some people that joined a small group this week. Man, it's just, you're doing better than you think you're doing. You might not be where you used to be, but check this out, you're moving forward. You're at least not where you were. You're doing better than you think that you're doing. And here's number two, what Jesus said about John that John didn't hear. And I believe everybody needs to hear this today. You matter more than you think you do. You matter more than you think you do. See, John the Baptist had the privilege to prepare the way for Jesus through life. And John's going to have the opportunity to prepare through death as well. Can you imagine how awesome it would be to be the one that you got to announce the coming of Jesus? You got to announce the coming of the one that was going to save the world. And then John also got to see Jesus face to face after the work of Jesus was done on the cross. I think that's amazing. But Jesus went on to compare John to Elijah. But John didn't get to hear it. I'm sure he would have liked to, but he didn't. But John had to place his faith in who Jesus was. And by doing that, John could have the confidence. He could have the confidence to believe that his life mattered more than he thought that it did. You know, I want to share a story with you about a guy who he didn't think that his life mattered a whole lot. He was a race director of the triathlon world, multi-sport, and he came pretty close to dropping out of leading it anymore. And I mean, he led thousands and thousands of races, and what he would do is he would put a little track, a little testimony of his life, of his relationship with Jesus, coming to Jesus, inside of all those goodie bags that people would get when they would go and perform the races. And so he was sharing with me one day that he got to that place where he didn't think like there was any fruit off of what he was doing, that it was just a big old waste of time with what he put inside those goodie bags, until he shared with me a letter that he received in the mail. It said, "Dear race director, I've been reluctant to write to you, but felt a tug that this is the time to do so. My life has been a worldly mess, insane addictions to alcohol, pornography, rage, and though I did not know it then, extreme unwarranted pride. My life was always about me and my partying and doing whatever it was that I pleased. Several times I was diagnosed as a highly functioning addict, and instead of heeding it as being negative, I made it yet another thing that I thought was cool about myself. I was able to train and partake in multi-sport events, which made me feel better than those who needed their sleep or couldn't party and stay healthy. Among my issues, I was extremely liberal, a cross between a naturalist and a humanist. So the night after the race, when I found that track, that testimony with in my goodie bag, I was angry. My immediate reaction was, how dare they use this platform to push Christianity on me? What a bunch of nuts. And the real kicker was your picture that was on the testimony. Envy made me think, what an egotistical person to put that on something religious. I could not throw it away fast enough into the garbage can. Another night of partying and computer browsing left me feeling guilty yet one more morning. Without thinking, I took the testimony paper out of the trash can with the coffee grounds all over it, and I put it in my pocket. I kept reading over it like it was a good luck charm or something, not understanding what I was reading. I did this for about a week or two until I lost the track. A series of things happened to me over that two-week period after reading that testimony that I ended up losing. The Lord brought me to a church that I love. Daily Bible study, self-examination, prayer, thankfulness, baptism, godly friends, sobriety, a block on my computer, a Christian recovery group, a campus crusade for Christ mentor, and a desire to honor my Lord and not myself, or multi-sport. When the question was asked of what was the moment that I became a Christian, I can't answer it because it was a string of moments that, to the best of my memory, started with your decision to add the best thing I've ever found in one out of hundreds of goodie bags. My salvation on and off this earth. Thank you, race director. You'd be surprised how many people feel like they're not doing anything, that what they're doing doesn't matter. The race director felt like what he was doing didn't matter. But I bet you that guy that wrote that letter would ask and think a little differently, wouldn't he? Some of you may think it doesn't matter if you're here for your kids because they don't listen anyway. Some of you think it doesn't really matter if you stand up and live a life for Jesus in the workplace because most of your friends, they don't go to church anyway. Or if I stand up for Jesus in my school, no one notices. No, listen, it matters more than you think that it matters. There's more going on. There's more things happening than you'll ever know. Than you'll ever know. You matter more than you think you do. You know how I know you matter more? You always know the value of something by what someone is willing to pay for it. Listen, you were paid for by the blood of Jesus. You were paid for, bought, paid in full, all of you, by the blood of Jesus. Don't diminish that. Don't think that your life doesn't matter. You matter more than you think you do. You need to keep pressing into Jesus. You need to keep showing up at Bible study. You need to keep moving forward, keep serving, keep being generous, keep loving other people, because one day you are going to stand in front of our Lord and Savior, and Jesus is going to say, listen, you matter more than you think that you mattered. Well done, good and faithful servant. You matter. You matter. You matter more than you think that you do. Point number three, and I would argue that this may even be the most important of the three. Number three, it's less about you than you think it is. It's less about you than you think it is. And you say, hey, whoa, can I get a time out during church? Because I got a question here. I mean, you just told me that I matter more than I think I do, and now you're telling me that it's not really about me. Which one is it? Yes. Yes. Yes, you matter more than you think you do when you realize it's not about you. When you realize it's not about you. And some of you will find the greatest blessing. Some of you will find the greatest satisfaction, the greatest peace in your life when you realize that life is not all about you. That it's about we, not about me. And I believe that this will be the most uplifting message that, listen, now you have heard. You have heard that you understand without Jesus, I'm nothing. But if I got Jesus, I've got everything. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. I've got it all. Jesus said, go tell John. The blind receive sight. Go tell the deaf. Go tell John that the deaf hear. Go tell John that the good news is being preached to the poor. And blessed is the one who who doesn't fall away on account of me. It's amazing how much condemnation just falls off of you when you get to that place of, it's not about me. It's not about me. And so when you have those days where those questions come up, God, are you there? Am I really making a difference? God will say, yes. You're making more of a difference than you'll ever know. You should hear all the things I'm saying about you behind your back. You should see the difference that you're making because of the obedience that you're showing and displaying. But let me tell you something. It's not about you. It's not about you. Jesus has been talking about you behind your back. And he's been saying, you're doing better than you think you're doing. You matter more than you think you do. You matter so much more than you think you do when you realize it's not about you. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. But with Jesus, I've got everything. I've got everything. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. In your presence, your word has been spoken. God, I just wonder who it is that is you're speaking to them right now. They would say, yes, there's something going on inside of me. God is speaking to me. His word has done something to me today. Because maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never surrendered everything to him. Or maybe you've had that moment, but you've literally just let condemnation just beat you down. You haven't felt as close to God maybe as you have in the past. And so if you are being spoken to today, I want to say a prayer, and I just want you to say it. Say it with me. It doesn't have to be out loud. You can just mouth it. You can say it out loud, but just in your heart. Today's going to be a different day for you. The enemy thought that you were going to walk in here, check it off the list, and head back out and do what you want. He had no idea that Jesus was going to change your life today forever. That you were going to walk out of here changed, never to be the same. Never to be the same. Just say these words, dear Jesus, I just come to you today with all of my heart, with everything that I am. I've been out trying to do it so long in my own strength, in my own resolve. I've spent so many nights like worrying about like everybody else, but not worrying about the relationship with you. Today's a different day, Jesus. I give you my life. I surrender everything that I have to you. From this day forward, I want to walk on the path that you have for me. I love you. I thank you for the gift of new life. I thank you for the freedom that you bring. I thank you that you just didn't die for me, but you lived for me. And not only that, you rose again exactly like you said you would. You took all of my sins, everything, on that cross for me because you feel that I matter to you. Thank you for that gift. I accept it today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Can you stand up and